Hello, this is Michael L. Jones with the Unfair Housing Oral History Project that's being done by the Metro Housing Coalition and the U of L Oral History Center. It is December 27th at 4:55, and I'm talking with Mark Jackson, who is a longtime resident of the James Teller neighborhood.
How are you doing, Mr. Jackson?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
So, how old are you?
I'm 68.
And how long have you lived in this community?
Since 1962.
Okay. And do you live in the same house?
Live in the same house.
Yeah. So, is this something your parents had bought? Or
yes, it's a generational home, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh. And so, not many people know about the James Teller neighborhood.
It depends on who you ask.
Okay.
Because there has been, if you want to do history, say for instance, if you were a person who knew about the Retired Servicemen's Club, for instance, then you knew about this neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
If you were a person who was my age or older who knew about Ebony Park.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell us a little bit about those two?
Part of this neighborhood.
Okay.
Smalls Park, which is part of this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Ake's Place, which was part of this neighborhood. James Teller, Jefferson Jacob, mm-hmm. Jacob School, part of this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So Rosenwald School.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Jacob is my great-great-great-grandfather.
Okay.
So my history and my family's history of the Trial family
mm-hmm.
in Prospect is deep
mm-hmm.
in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony Park, Smalls Park, was a juke joint
mm-hmm.
that was right here on Duroc Lane, where ball players would come out on Sundays and play ball,
mm-hmm.
Baseball and softball. Of course, during the juke joints, you know, you had drinks and activities.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the property was sold to a developer, which put patio homes on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This area was a Rosenwald Red Line area.
Mm-hmm.
This Ake's Place was a restaurant, and she had cottages right next door to me where African Americans or black folks or Negroes, however you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
travel, could come and have a safe place to eat and live and or residence or even hotels or cottages is where she rented them out for people travel, black folks travel.
Mm-hmm.
The Rosenwald School is where the blacks in this neighborhood went to in order to go to school because of the, you know, racial inequalities.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you grow up with this history?
I grew up with this history.
Uh-huh.
I've been coming out here. I was born in 53. My mother was and her... her eight siblings lived here, was raised in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the sisters still lived here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the brothers moved back here. One of the brothers moved here, and then he passed away. But actually, that history where they never moved away from here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why I guess... Mr. Arnita said, well, if you know anything, you can call Mr. Jackson. He can tell you because of my family history. But it's been like the James Teller family, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Jacob got here in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
And James Teller, being a black entrepreneur, got here in 1912 or 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my grandma Badgett, which is on Jacob School, which is Jefferson Jacob's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She had property on Jacob School. Mm-hmm. You have to realize that James Taylor is Bass and Shirley, Riverway and Restway. Okay, Jacob School, Duroc, and of course it was Lighters Lane, which is where Sutherland is now, was all here. It was all here. So James Taylor was the one who said, okay, I'm going to sell property bought from Shirley and Bass owners. Decided to sell to African Americans families to raise their families here. He didn't sell my grandfather's property to my grandfather. He didn't sell Grandma Badge's house to her. They was already here, is what I'm saying. James Taylor was a black entrepreneur that lived in the area that had business aspect. He did a lot for us. He made sure that the kids got to school when they went from graduated from Jefferson, from the Jacob School. They only had to go to Lincoln Institute or they had to go to Central High School. It's the only place they could go. You couldn't go to another school. You couldn't go to Males. You couldn't go to none of the other schools in Louisville other than Central. So most of the people out here that went graduated from out here went to Central High School.
Did they have a bus? Or
had a bus. He provided transportation for them to go from here to Central. He did a lot for the neighborhood. There was a... it wasn't a time that you couldn't ask him to do anything that he would not do.
Did you ever meet him?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Years and years ago.
What was he like? Ago.
He was a gentleman. He's a kind-hearted man. I really grew up with his grandchildren. When they say Miss Broaddus, which was his daughter, had two sons, Stenson Broaddus and Chucky Broaddus. Now, I grew up with them. They was in my age, well, they was older than me, but that was we was all in the neighborhood together. You know, so then there's other families that were here, say the Brooks family, Thornton Brown family, the
Did
Dunbar
most of these
family.
People work in Prospect or
no? Most of them worked. Most of the women, say for instance, I had a few of my aunties that were domestics. You know, worked in people's homes. My mother was a scrub tech down the old General Hospital until it came to University of Louisville. My dad was working at Fisher's Packing Company. I had a couple uncles that worked at Fisher's Packing Company. People worked at GE, retired from GE, retired from Ford. So everybody out here, we had teachers, principals, different variety of folks that lived in the neighborhood. Everybody was working class people. Well, nobody was filthy rich, but we all took care. I was just down cleaning out downstairs and looking at some of my dad's paychecks from the 60s and making $110 a week.
And where did he work?
Fisher Factory.
Fisher.
So to take that to buy this house out here from 20, we lived at 2305 West Jefferson. I got baptized in the Green Street Baptist Church. Reverend Mitchell. My mom moved out here when I was 9 years old. But I was coming out here every day in the summertime because this is where our recreation was in the Jacob School. My mother helped teach classes and we had, this is where all the neighborhood would come to. We didn't have Hayes Kennedy Park at that time. And Hayes Kennedy was one of the ladies who was a very, very instrumental in this neighborhood also, to the point where the park was named after her down at Hayes Kennedy Park. So we had a lot of working class people. H Place, for instance, like I said, was a restaurant. She had cottages for people to stay, blacks to stay. Because years ago, white folks couldn't buy no property over here.
Mm.
Wasn't any whites that lived here. If you wasn't black, you couldn't buy nothing. You couldn't live in this neighborhood.
Is that because of James Taylor?
No, that's because of the... And yes, James Taylor would not sell to a white person. But it was set up for African Americans.
Okay. So there was a legal,
segregation.
Other legal things.
Yeah, after the civil rights, you know, you can't discriminate against people wanting to move into the neighborhood.
So before that, when Louisville had the discrimination laws, a white person couldn't live here because it was a black neighborhood.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
As vice versa. We couldn't go in their neighborhood and live. They couldn't come in here and live.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when civil rights, when the bill passed, it, no discrimination. And, you know, so yeah, now we're diverse. We got Indian, we got Arabs, we got Mexicans, you know, we got whites.
So black. How big is the James Taylor area?
How big is it?
Yeah.
Four streets.
Mm.
You got Jacob Schools, where it starts,
mm-hmm.
from the water company down on the curve to the Sutherlands,
mm-hmm.
all the way to the river.
Okay.
Now, there's a Beachman Beach down on the river. It's a white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been there. But they had to come through our neighborhood to get to their neighborhood. They are separate from us. Actually, there's a sign down there that says private property when you go through the stone gate down there.
Uh-huh.
Ain't no gate up right now, but it said private property. Now all whites live down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the river.
Yeah.
Okay. So they was the ones getting flooded out. We never got flooded up here.
So, most people, when they hear the story of they talk about black people in Louisville, they talk about the West End, they might talk about Newburgh, but places like James Taylor don't get a lot of attention.
It depends on who you're talking to.
Uh-huh.
You have James Taylor, you have Berrytown, mm-hmm. you have Griffithtown, all those black neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
all of them. People don't know about those either.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Griffithtown, you wouldn't recognize it right now because of the building up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's off of US 60, which is Shelbyville Road.
Mm-hmm.
Berrytown is right over here on 146.
Mm-hmm.
These are neighborhoods that we have competition with when we had our recreations.
Mm-hmm.
And not counting the Shawnee Parks, Chickasaw Park. See, we traveled to all of these areas and played ball against them. We had competition, athletic competition, horseshoe pitching, washer pitching.
Is that because it was segregated, so you only could play black schools?
Yeah, that also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you grew up in the 50s and the 60s in this area,
mm-hmm.
you knew about all of the black areas in the city of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
You knew where you could go, actually. Basically, you knew where you could go to have party and have fun and whatever. You know, you got a little jute joint in every little town,
mm-hmm.
every little section that you house to. You know, holes in the wall.
They have live music there?
Yeah, live music and, you know, dancing and, you know, DJs and stuff and things. But, yeah, I've had, say for instance, and I'm gonna call her name because I know she's a celebrity, but she used to ride past this neighborhood, never knew it was over here, and her name was Jane West, Miss
mm-hmm.
West.
Mm-hmm.
She used to drive past here. She said, told me, she said, Jane West. She said, I never knew this neighborhood was over here, and I rode past Down River Road all every day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh. Because she had once wanted to do this interview also.
Mm-hmm.
She had once wanted to, and I know didn't know if she continued. We had just got through going through a neighborhood plan and getting our neighborhood established and getting our plan was so old that lot of stuff in it that needed to be thrown out, and we revised it. And, and so I've been president of the Neighborhood Association for probably about 5 or 6 years, and we finally got the plan through Metro Council, and there's a lot of things out here that need to be done. Finally got MSD to do some work on our drainage, you know. It's, not Kelly Downer, it used to be our councilman out here, and now it's, I can't think of his name. He's a new guy, can't think of his name, but he's interested in sinking a little money into the James Taylor. See, we're trying to get to James Taylor, and this is what's going to be good about this interview. GoFundMe for the Jacob School renovation. It's already been money is appropriated from through the bridge project. They need more. We need more so that we can get the inside done in order so we can use it for our neighborhood meetings. And so we used to have an auction every year too at James Taylor, at the Jacob School. Farmers, we was mostly farmers. My grandfather had a farm, just an acre, but he raised pigs and chickens and ducks, and he had two working mules in this neighborhood. And he went and cut grass and hay and all around in this, pick up slop from all around the different restaurants and stuff that used to be here. Brooks's Garage used to be on the corner of U.S. 42 and River Road. All of that across the street over there was a junkyard. Brooks owned Brooks Garage.
So when did the neighborhood start being integrated? When did white people start moving in?
When exactly? I couldn't tell you. All I know is right now, we had a lady move out that lived back here off of Riverway, Restway. She moved into a assisted living. Her husband had passed away. Her house wasn't on the market but 5 days. And a white couple bought it. The house across the street, Miss Rose's house, she passed away. Her heir was in Chicago. It took them, once they got it cleaned up, and took them about 2 months, and her house was sold to a white couple. Brought us his house, James Taylor's daughter's house on Shirley Avenue, was bought by white folks. Okay, so, and we have a black man here that is a home builder. That house right there, you see with all the lights?
Yeah.
Right here? He built that house. He sold it to Mexicans. He built his house back the street back there, nice house, beautiful home. He built one on Bass, beautiful home. Next door to him, it was a house built. Arabs, I think, Arabs live in it. But people snapping this up, and I'll tell you the reason why people snapping it up in this area. It's crime-free. We know it's one way in, one way out. You can't come in this neighborhood, I'll put it this way. Years ago, you couldn't come in the neighborhood without somebody knowing that you, some stranger was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it. Now, it's so diverse, because I'm, you know, I'm retired, so. I see who coming in and out of Duroc all the time. But other areas in the neighborhood, like now that the Hayes Kennedy Park is down there, we have a lot of traffic. A lot of traffic. Actually, they built a cricket field down there. And they built it, and I don't know if it's privately owned or not on the public, on the public park system. But everybody can't get access to it. They got a lock on the gate. Mm-hmm. But it's a cricket field down in Hayes Kennedy Park. Soccer field. They used to play polo down there. This is when a lot of the whites start coming out in this neighborhood. We used to play ball down there all the time. Mm-hmm. But we didn't start out playing basketball down there. We started out on the dirt court, Jacob School. Mm-hmm. Basketball court on the grass. Baseball on the grass.
And that, this was a neighborhood where all the kids knew each other?
Everybody knew each other. You had five sisters that lived out here. And each one of them had five kids, basically, might as well say. Few of them had four, but most of them had five. Had the Trial family. But you had the Dunbars. I know that name is familiar. Martin Dunbar. He's been in this neighborhood. His kids was raised up in this neighborhood. Margaret Demery, she was one at a cheerleader down at Central High School, University of Louisville. She just got honored. Made from this neighborhood. Arthur Walters, Urban League, big name in Urban League. Arthur Walters raised his family out here. Okay, Wilsons, Sonny Wilson worked at Ford plant, raised his family out here. Taylors, there have been lots of Taylors out here. It wasn't related to James Taylor. But in a sense was James Taylor's descendants was raised out here. You know. But the bulk of the people that lived out here was Trial family. There was actually four sisters on this street, Durock. Then a sister on Shirley. Now this is the kicker. They was all raised on Jacob School.
What schools did you went to Jacob School and then you went to Central High School?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Where'd you go?
I went to James Bond Elementary.
Oh, okay.
You know anything about James Bond? No,
I don't.
School?
I know who James Bond was, but yeah.
Julian
Bond and the Bond family. Yeah.
Right down there on the Cedar.
Okay.
Yeah. Now it's Dancy Bick. Okay, because they tore down James Bond School. They tore it down. I went to Wilder Elementary when I lived from here because I was 9 years old when I moved out here.
Yeah.
Wilder Elementary, and I went to Westport I graduated from.
Okay, Westport High School.
Yes. But some of my cousins that lived out here when the time they was in elementary went to the Jacob School.
All right.
I did not.
So you're... When you came up, you were kind of the new kid.
I wasn't new.
People knew you.
I was out here every summer. My grandparents lived out here. All of my cousins on my mother's side lived out here.
Yeah.
So we was out here during the summertime all the time. Christmas and Thanksgivings and all that kind of stuff. We was at my grandma's house.
So what you do after high school?
What did I do?
Yeah.
I'm in the United States Marine.
Oh.
I didn't go in the Marine Corps until I was 22. I went to Fisher's Pack Company to work from 18 years old until I was 22.
Okay. Were you still living with your parents then, or did you move out?
I had a child and married and went in the Marine Corps. Actually, I lived in my first apartment was one of Aces Place Colleges right across the street here.
Okay.
It's torn down now, but it was right across the street here. My first wife, we lived over there. And she was a Caucasian girl. That's my oldest daughter. She's 48 years old. So, I went in the military at 22, got out when I was 27. I spent 5 years in the Marine Corps. So, served this country.
So, what places did you visit when you were?
I didn't do a lot of traveling. I was in North Carolina, Camp Lejeune, for a year and a half. After 3 months of boot camps and 3 months of school, I was a heavy equipment engineer, truck driver. So I went from Captain June, North Carolina, to Kaneohe Bay Marine Corps Air Station in Hawaii.
So did you live on the Marine bases then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I lived on.
So, because I wanted to ask you about the kind of racial housing situations you saw when you were in the Marines, when you were traveling.
There wasn't any racial divide. You was rank orientated.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a family, and your family traveled with you in the service, where they went to every duty station that you went to,
mm-hmm.
the military would make sure that you had base housing.
Mm-hmm.
If there wasn't base housing, they would put you up somewhere in an apartment, somewhere outside the base.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you was a Marine or if you was a military and you was single, you lived on base.
Okay.
You had housing on base. You didn't have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
You could choose to live outside the base, but it wasn't wise to do that if you wouldn't have your family with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't get paid no extra
mm-hmm.
if you lived outside the base and you was a single man.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my travels was basically because I played basketball. I was in the Marine Corps and that, so I traveled a lot. But I didn't go to Okinawa, I didn't go to Korea, I didn't go to Australia on the Westpac float, and I didn't do anything on the East Coast. So my travels as far as me going anywhere was, I'd go from Hawaii to the mainland here.
Yeah.
Play ball. Quantico, Virginia, Hono Gym. And
wait, this is a Marine team that you were playing ball for?
Yeah, I play sports now. I was all Marine. I was coaching Marines. But this, you know, this is, and we had a lot of men. My dad was Army, and my stepson was Navy. My son went in the Air Force. My oldest son went in the Air Force. He was air traffic controller.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 95. So he's right now in Hawaii with his brother and his mother
mm-hmm.
and my six grandbabies over there. Mm-hmm. And he's director of air traffic controllers over in Hawaii. So he's made a good career out of it. You know, we had, you have to ask me, you know, when you talk about this neighborhood and the people that lived in this neighborhood, most of the people were successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they raised their kids to be successful in whatever they was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Were they filthy rich? But it's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how you was raised. Actually, I'm going to have one of my cousins who's a realtor and a singer, and her husband is a singer, Will Keys. We're going to meet down at the Captain's Quarters tomorrow. That's part of my family.
Will Keys, he used to be called Billy Higgins, right?
Yeah.
We went to high school together. He was one of my best friends in high school.
Light-skinned brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's here taking care of his mother. That's my relatives. He's married to my cousin. Laura.
Laura Key. Yeah,
that's my cousin. See how related.
Yeah.
See how small this world really is.
Yeah.
This world is really small.
So after you got out of high school, or you out of the Marines, what did you do?
I went back to Fisher's Packing Company because I had a baby on the way.
Yeah. What was Fisher's like then?
Fisher's treated you real well.
Uh-huh.
They gave you a job. All you had to do was show up and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you had to do, go show up and go to work. One thing Mr. Fisher didn't like, and this is one of the things that my dad was telling me, he went to welding school, so he got the nickname Schoolboy.
Mm-hmm.
Went to welding school, got his welding certificate. Never used it.
Mm-hmm.
said, why you ever use it? He said, I was going to go to GE and work.
Mm-hmm.
But GE went on strike too much.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be on strike. I got a family to raise.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Fisher didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may have had one incident. And I was just downstairs reading some of the stuff that was, you know, that they went on strike years and years ago. But after that, wasn't any.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't any. But from a man who started out with just a little bit of nothing,
mm-hmm.
to where Fisher's is a big name, he took care of his employees.
Mm-hmm.
He took care of his employees. He didn't like strikes. He's going to give you what you need to survive on. That's the way he was. He was a good man in that sense. Of course, it's a whole lot different now. It got, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they still have Fisher's product, but it's not Fisher's. But there's a working environment. But I went on and started driving a truck for a living.
Mm-hmm.
My 19 years old, road owner operator, big rigs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did for my living. That was my lifestyle, was mm-hmm. driving a rig over the road. That's my passion. Still today, if it wasn't so crazy out there, I'd still be out there driving. But I retired from Allied Ready Mix, forced into retirement because we was on strike. Because they wanted to get rid of the union,
mm-hmm.
which they ended up doing. Smyrna owns it now, but I drove a concrete truck for 6 years for them. I've driven a school bus for Jefferson County Public Schools, Oldham County Public Schools. But my main thing was I was an over-the-road trucker.
Mm-hmm. So how was it working as a bus driver? Because one of the things that we've been dealing with in this project has been the connection between schools and where you live. And
where you live in
how it affects where you go to school and what kind of education you get.
Well, I think busing was the worst thing they could have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. What I felt they should have done was make sure that all the schools were equal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take someone from down in the West End and bring them all the way out here to school.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's no school down there.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to dislodge this person? And then you only did some of them. You didn't do everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing they did. Busing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been bused all my life to school.
Mm-hmm.
All my life, I had to get on the bus to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the area where I either had to go to Westport High School. It was so many of us during the baby boom that I had to go to school at night.
Mm.
We had double sessions. We went to school at night. We get over to school at 2:30, 3 o'clock. We didn't get out to 7. And then when they got the school built, and then that's when they built Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
But they was already adding on to Westport.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, busing was the worst thing they could have done.
Mm-hmm.
You uprooting kids and bringing them out to, they're not getting no better education.
Mm-hmm. So what years were you a bus driver?
2007. I think it's when I started, 2007.
Okay, so it's rather recent.
Yeah, but I started at Oldham County because Jefferson County wouldn't hire me.
Oh, okay. Was there a difference between the school systems?
Yeah. I drove for Oldham County.
Mm-hmm.
I had a nice route. But come Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, I get gift cards and candy and cookies and cakes from the parents would meet me at the bus and say, here, Mr. Jackson, the kids would bring stuff on the bus for me. Big difference from Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
Way different. Okay. Because I drove from Jefferson County. I had Indian Arab or, mm-hmm. or anyway, to ride my school bus. Mm-hmm. They parents was the only ones that gave me anything. Mm-hmm. Okay? And them black folks and them white folks, they didn't give a damn about your bus driving or what you did.
What routes did you get? Like, what schools did you...
I was working for Cameron.
Okay.
And what was my high school? I can't even think. I dealt with mostly elementary and middle school. Mm-hmm. My high schoolers, I can't even think now. Westport? No, it was my depot. That's what happens when you get old and can't remember stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it was totally different school bus driving. Mm-hmm. From Oldham County to Jefferson County. But I tell any school bus driver, they are children. Mm-hmm. And if you ain't an adult, you do not allow children to run over you. Mm-hmm. Stay in your child's place. When we was growing up, if adults was in the room talking, you didn't come in the room. Mm-hmm. Okay, you could deal with the parents. I used to tell my students from Cameron, that's the roads, the middle schools, they the worst. Mm-hmm. I'll come to your house. Mm-hmm. You don't know where I live at, why not? I got all your information, your mama information, your daddy information, your phone numbers, your emergency phone numbers. I got all that in the book because I have to carry it for all my students that's on the bus. Mm-hmm. So y'all act crazy if you want to. If I have to come to your house, I'm not a school bus driver. If you acting up on the bus, because they're not going to put you off because it's all about money. Uh-huh. The more students you put off the bus, less money the bus driver, the state gives to federal money's there.
Yeah.
Okay? As simple as that. It's all about the money. They don't give a damn what them kids are doing. Uh-huh. And it's all about safety. I'm here for your safety. If not, we'll give you a TARC ticket and let you drive TARC out.
So, are most of the kids that you know in James Taylor, are they being bused now?
Out here, there's not a whole lot of kids live out here now.
Really? Is it just an older generation?
Older generation. Everybody used to meet at the end of the street. Because uh-huh. there wasn't no turnaround.
Okay.
So all my cousins live back here on Duroc. They met up here. Mm-hmm. Our bus driver was Gilbert Smith, lived down on the corner where the water company is now. But before then, it was another man. I can't, because he wasn't my bus driver. He was the ones that was older than the ones that drove the bus going down to Central in different areas. And my other cousin was talking about him and how they, you know. But they treated us, we used to go down there because they could bring the bus home. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, we'd go down there and start the bus up and flash the lights and everything. And Mr. Smith would come, and Gilbert Smith, he'd come on across the street to say, y'all got the bus warmed up for me? Yes, sir. He's a little short fella, you know. But he drove us kids out here now going to school, going to Cameron and Ballard. They built Ballard. My younger brother went to Ballard because he was in that age group. There's a lot of them that lived out here that when Ballard was built, went to Ballard instead of Westport. Mm-hmm. Of course, now Westport's a middle school. So actually, it was ironic because I had to play against my younger brother in basketball in high school. It was a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Which he actually should have been on my team at Westport. Mm-hmm. But being that Ballard was built, we played against each other. We played mm-hmm. against our cousins at Eastern and Seneca and a lot of Thomas Jefferson and, mm-hmm. you know, Moses D. Walt and all of that group. See, I knew all them guys. Mm-hmm. Buntons, Bill Bunton, Stanley Bunton. I played ball with all them guys. Well, we was in different areas, but we, you know, and then we went to the school in our area. Mm-hmm. Busing hadn't came in until after, what it was, 73, 74, when they start really busing. I was already out of high school when they start busing, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the other kind of civil rights things that were going on when you were younger? I wonder what the how they impacted James Taylor, like the 1968 riots in Parkland, the
you didn't have none of them crazy folks coming out here acting that way. You didn't have none of them crazy. You didn't have people. You didn't have people tearing up their own stuff out here. No, sir, didn't happen. Didn't happen in it. Did not happen in Berrytown. It did not happen in Griffintown. All these black neighborhoods out, didn't happen out there in Newburgh. It only happened downtown. Why you want to tear up your own area? That's the most stupidest thing I ever. If anything, you go to and I understand peaceful rioting, but when you start tearing up people's stuff, that's a whole different ball game. Now you're not showing your smarts. You're showing how ignorant you are. You're showing you don't have no education. You know. And that's what one of the things about Martin Luther King and the group on the special, you educate yourself. You do it in the proper manners. And you make the people that are denying you all these rights that you have already look stupid. It's like this, we still talk about voting rights. And this is 2021. Come on. If I don't have the right to vote and people in our country doesn't have the right to vote, then you ain't got a right to vote. If you gonna mess with my rights, you ain't got no right either.
Yeah, I wondered how were people and James Taylor involved in the civil rights movement? Was there a vocal talk among your neighbors about what was
yes,
going on?
Mostly, yes, I would say so. Arthur Walters was big in the Urban League. Now, I didn't go to the first march of the King March on Washington. I wasn't there at the first one, but I went to the second one, the one that was the anniversary, 25th anniversary, and one of the had the big march where I went to that one.
Okay.
My sisters always lived in the D.C. area.
Okay.
So my high school graduation present was first time on an airplane. I went to Washington, D.C., where my sister lived at Northwestern D.C. area. That's where she graduated out of college down here, and she went. Stayed here for a little while, and then she went on up there to the D.C. area and worked. She's been up there ever since. But, yeah, we would talk about it, but most of our talk would be mainly with the either in the Lodge Hall or the 109 Lodge Hall Masons or at the church. Okay.
Were you still going to Green Street?
No, I'm Harris Creek right over here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the home church. Right here, 50-something years over here, where my grandfather, Moore Trial, and a group spun off of Greencastle Baptist Church, used to be off of Rose Island Road, which is now over off of Murphy Lane. We spun off of that church and developed Harris Creek. Harris Creek Baptist Church used to be down on the creek down there by the Merriweather House. Okay, and it was all the way back in the corner till the two floods flooded them out, and then Miss Merriweather sold them this property right over here where they're at now. So that history also, that's history at the Harris Creek Baptist Church. It's been out here for 1891 is when the church was established.
And it's always been a black church?
It's always been a black church. When I got out here, they was transferring from C. Reverend Young, which was a pastor when I joined, to got a new pastor in, C. E. Salter. And then Salter was there for 33 and a third, 33 years until he couldn't no longer pastor. We got Kirk Bush now. They got Kirk Bush now. I left the church in 2012 and went down to Bethel Baptist Church.
Okay.
Down on 35th and Garland. Called to the ministry in 2012 and I went down to Bethel under Dr. Bell.
So you've been preaching?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I do more teaching than preaching, but if I'm called to preach, he'll let me know to do a Bible study on when he wants me to do it on Sunday morning. I've done a couple of three messages, about four eulogies. And a friend of mine just said, "I think I got a wedding for you." So whatever it's called for. I got my bachelor's degree in theology. So
when'd you go back to school?
We had the school at Midwestern College of Theology.
Mm-hmm.
Brought the school, it's in Missouri. They brought the school to Dr. Bell, which is an educator, and offered him the opportunity to teach out of the school, out of the church.
Mm.
So anybody who wanted to take the theology classes through Midwest College of Theology, which is an accredited school, we did it every Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our booklets, this all packed up now. We had our booklets and we go through our booklets and take our tests and do all that stuff. And he turns them in and then we get our diplomas and all that. Mm-hmm. So it took us 2 years for associates. It took us 2 years for a bachelor's degrees. And then, of course, you could take the next step up if you want to, all the way up to your doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be. He did it. Midwest College of Theology did it because a lot of people didn't want to go into a school setting with a whole, but like a seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's nothing wrong with seminary. But our pastor says seminary teaches a lot of things that you really not going to utilize.
Mm-hmm.
When there's theology, the basics in theology is teaching the basics.
Mm-hmm.
You teach the basic and that God guides you through the rest of it. But man has intervened in so much and put so much of his stuff into the seminaries that you get off track. You know, there's nothing wrong with learning Latin. There's nothing wrong with learning Hebrew. There's nothing wrong with learning Greek. There's nothing wrong with those languages. If you speak Greek or Hebrew to me, I won't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says don't speak in tongues unless there's somebody there to interpret it. There's no need in speaking in tongues. And basically, speaking in tongues means that you're talking to God. God understands you.
Mm-hmm. Did they do that in the church you grew up with?
No. Okay. Baptist. No, they did that in Koji. I'm going to walk away for a second.
All right.
But that's at Koji. That's the ones that do a lot of their speaking in tongues.
My grandmother was
Patterson.
My grandmother was Pentecostal, so
Pentecostal.
She...
they fell out and flow and rolled around.
Yeah.
And they purged you too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. And actually... Denominations is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Religious dominations is okay. Mm-hmm. Denominations is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a problem with that. My thing is, stay at the basics. Who are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
Each one of the churches, each one of the denominations, who are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
We serve the same Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can serve them any way you want.
Mm-hmm. So, have any of your neighbors come and seen you preach?
Yeah, my cousins and some of my friends when I did my initial sermon.
So how many family members do you still got living in the neighborhood?
Let's see. Chester Trial, which is my first cousin. Sylvester Wilson, which is my first cousin. My daughter lives in her great-grandma's house on Jacob's Coop, where her grandmama was raised. Where her grandmother was raised. Mm-hmm. She's living in that house now.
Do you ever worry about the history of this neighborhood as a black community being lost?
I do, because most of them are gone. Miss Richardson, which lives over here on Shirley, Miss Edmonds, she lives back on Bass. They are probably the two oldest original neighborhood people here.
How old
Miss,
are they?
Miss Dunbar is in that group also, and I think she's either in her late 80s or she's just busted in the 90s. Miss Richardson and Miss Edmonds, they are both in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are the folks that, you know, if you could sit down and talk to those folks, Miss Dunbar's over in the nursing home. Miss Richardson still lives in the house where she raised her son at. He lives right next door, and Miss Edmonds is back here on Bass. It wasn't but two houses on Bass before Hayes Kennedy Park, before they put the nursing home back here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you couldn't get through Bass because it was growed up so much.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get through it. And they put the nursing home back there, so, and they had to open up the street. Miss Edmonds' house and Mr. Cox's house was the only ones on Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't no other houses on Bass. All of the houses on Shirley on this side backed up to Bass.
Mm-hmm.
The places on Shirley that backed up to Jacob's School didn't go all the way over to Jacob's School. It only went so far because it was an acre, half acre, acre. And then you had the houses that was on Jacob's School. You couldn't go over into the other property because now it's the water company. So all their property, and Shirley and Bass's property, was backed up to each other. So, yeah, you, I have a few cousins out here, but I have cousins, Dwight Gibson, the Gibson family, the Taylor family, Wilson family. Wilson family sold their home to, used to a generation, second cousin, but then his wife decided to move out, and so now there's a white family living in it. And that's right across the street from the Broadus' house, which is descendant of James Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But us descendant of James Taylor built a house here, too. You know, so Carol Lewis, she was a realtor. Carol Lewis, she was her grandson living in her house. You know, so there's a few which may not be related to me, but they still in the area. Dawes Wilson, Larry White and his family back there. Actually, Don Rudell Stitch raised his family out here.
The boxer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at people that,
yeah,
when you bring the history back and forth about who lives in this black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Rudell Stitch.
Yeah. What was the reaction when he died? Didn't he die saving somebody from drowning?
Yeah, he died saving somebody in the locks up there. Well, he was a fisherman, so.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the first. It was the second time. The second time he didn't make it. First mm-hmm. time he pulled somebody out of the locks, he, you know. But this was the second trip. And then they just gave him a tribute and got his picture up on one of the buildings downtown.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. I was raised up with his family, Donnie, Rudell, Daryl, Janet. A couple of them have passed on, but yeah, I was raised up with Rudell Stitch.
Right.
Remember his auntie raised him
mm-hmm.
after the mother passed away.
Well, that's all the questions I had. Is if there's something I didn't ask you about that you want would like to mention?
No, but I would like to, for you, if you putting it, I mean, you if you break it down, this was a red line district. Mm-hmm. This was a historical red line. And if I'm not mistaken, it's in the Green Book. Mm-hmm. Aches's Place would be in the Green Book for black travelers. Mm-hmm. We are diverse. I mean, we don't have no prejudices. We are a very, people move in here because it's safe. Mm-hmm. It's one way in, one way out. We don't have no crimes out here. We don't have no people coming out here shooting up people. Uh-huh. There's none of that. I would like for more information about the Jacobs School than anything. Uh-huh. Because it needs to be revitalized. Do you remember Black Man Who Cooked? Derby City Men Who Cooked? When the sororities would have it at the American mm-hmm. Heritage down there.
Yeah.
So I won an award down there. But the award that I won down there is because I do fried chicken wings, you know. I'm a pretty good cook. But I had James Taylor School picture up mm-hmm. on my display. And it's strange how people would walk by and look at it and say, where's that at? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know about this. Now, I mentioned Retired Servants Club. Oh, yeah, I know where Turtle Club is. Oh, it's not here anymore. It's patio homes. But the party district, if you want to really go back, Ebony Park. Smalls Park. Ebony Park. Just different owners. Uh-huh. To the Retired Servants Club. It was kicking on Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh. It was kicking back here. But you didn't hear about no shooting. You didn't hear about nobody, no gang banging. Nobody who want to be. My main goal right now in this neighborhood is to revitalize the Jacobs School, Rosenwald School. They have money to finish the outside. They need money to do the inside. GoFundMe. And I wish I had the, Leslie Barrett sent me the information to send to where the money's going to send to. I don't have it with me, but I got your phone number. I'll send it to you.
All right. Well, thank you.